Welcome to Tardi Mechanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Adina Schmidman. On Tuesday, July 14th at 12 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Israel time, join us for a pre-Rosh Chodesh of Siyum titled Stones That Speak, uncovering the Beis HaMikdash from Nevi'im Rishonim until today, a special virtual tour with Mrs. Chava Prale. Together, we'll celebrate the completion of Nevi'im Rishonim with an inspiring journey through the stones and stories of Yerushalayim. You can register for the program, explore our Tardi Mecha Sefer resources, and support Tardi Mecha Nachyomi all in one place at ouwomen.org/Sefer Summary. That's ouwomen.org/Sefer Summary. And now for today's Perek.
Welcome to Tardi Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we will be studying the fifth Perek of Sefer Yeshayahu. Here in Perek Hey, Yeshayahu is going to try a brand new mechanism to try and move the people and create stirrings within their heart to have them to do teshuvah. And he's going to do so using a mashal, a parable. In fact, this parable is going to appear in a song form, as Pasuk Aleph tells us, Ashira na le yedidi, I will sing now a song to my beloved. And Yeshayahu is speaking, and his beloved here, of course, is Hashem. Shirat dodi lekarmo. It is a song of my beloved about his vineyard. Kerem hayai leyedidi. There was a vineyard that belonged to my beloved. Bekeren ben shemen. It was a vineyard that was in a place which was ben shemen. Shemen is fat or choicy or fruitful. The imagery of the Jews being HaKadosh Baruch Hu's vineyard here, and how the vineyard is going to create terrible fruit for the owner of the vineyard, is going to be paralleled or compared to Perek Chaf Zayin much later on in the Sefer, where we see that the vineyard is going to almost rectify its previous mistakes and produce good fruit. But here in Perek Hay at the beginning of the Sefer, we're still in the part where the vineyard is going to betray the vineyard owner. And the place where the vineyard is Bekeren Ben Shemen, Keren meaning the corner of the choicest land, which we understand to be Eretz Yisrael. However, the Malbim points out to us that the word Keren sometimes means corner, but it can also mean a horn. And when we have the word Shemen, oil, and Keren in the same phrase, it should awaken within us and remind us of the Keren HaMishcha, the anointing oil, which is kept in a horn, which is used for kings, and ultimately going to be used for Mashiach. And there's going to be built into the story the acknowledgement that it's only going to come to a positive end at the time of Mashiach. So what does this vineyard owner do? The vineyard owner, which we said is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it tells us, V'ya'azkehu v'yasalkehu. He takes this beautiful vineyard and he fences it off. And he removes any rocks that are in this vineyard. V'ya'atehu sorek. And he puts in the vineyard, he plants the best and choicest seeds. V'yiven migdal betocha. And he builds a tower in the vineyard. V'gam yekev chatzev bo. And he creates a wine press inside the vineyard to make wine. V'yikav la'asot anavim. And at the end of the day, what he hopes for is to have good grapes. He wants to make grapes. V'ya'as bo'oshim. But the vineyard betrays the man, and instead it produces these wild, inedible grapes. And the Mefarshim speak about what all these different parts of the vineyard represents. And if we go through them, the first thing he does is he takes it and he fences us off. He gives us Eretz Yisrael and he removes the rocks. That's the removal of the other nation, and he plants the very best seeds. The Radak tells us the best seeds are our genetics. We come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And he built a migdal, a tower in there. The tower perhaps is the Beis HaMikdash. And what is the wine press? According to the Radak, the wine press is the Nevi'im, the prophets, who are going to squeeze out the very best of the Jewish people. And according to the Malbim, the wine press is the Shefa, the endless good which is flowing in the land of Israel, the wealth and the sustenance which the Jewish people receive. So now HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to the people and he says, here's the case, theoretical case of a man and a vineyard, where the vineyard produces bad fruit And Pasuk Gimel says, "Va'ata Yoshev Yerushalayim ve'ish Yehuda." Now, people of Yehuda, people of Yerushalayim, tell me, "Shiftu na beini uben Karmi." Tell me what I should do with my vineyard. "Mal asot od leKarmi." What more could I possibly have done for this vineyard? "V'lo asiti bo," that I didn't do. "Madua kiviti lasot anavim." Why is it that I hoped so much for grapes? "V'ya'as be'ushim," and that did not produce grapes for me. And this is the question which obviously is aimed directly at these people. What more could I have done for you? I have given you everything, and you have not done what I've asked. And so Hashem says, Pasuk Hei, Va'ata, now, Odia na etchem et kol asher ani oseh leKarmi. Let me tell you what I'm going to do to you, my dear vineyard. What I will do is, Haser Mesukato, I will remove its fence. V'haya leva'er, it will be desolate. Poretz gedero, I will remove its hedge. And v'haya lemarmas, and it will be trampled. V'ashitehu bata, I will leave it desolate. Lo yezamer v'lo ya'ader, it will not be pruned and it will not be hoed. V'ala shamir v'shayit, and thorns and thistles will grow here. Now the phrase shamir v'shayit, thorns and thistles, actually appears 7 times in Yeshayahu and nowhere else in Tanakh. And it really represents a couple of things. It represents that which will remain after HaKadosh Baruch Hu's punishment. That which is prickly, it is suffering, it is painful, and it's also something which is unruly and untamable. It's going to be chaos and havoc. It's going to be exile. And at the same time as the shamir v'shayit, the thorns and thistles being something which doesn't feel like it's a bracha, it's a blessing, we have to remind ourselves that it's something. There will be something that remains, that even through all the punishments, the Jewish people is never going to be wiped out entirely. And before we move on from the mashal, it's interesting to note that Rashi actually reads all these psukim, not talking about the people of Yehuda and Eretz Yisrael at the time, but really talking about Adam HaRishon. And about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu put Adam, who is the vineyard, into the world and he messed up. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give the people specific musar. He's going to say, if you are the Kerem and you have done what I have not asked for, what is it that you have done wrong? Pasuk Zayin tells us, V'hinei mispach letzedaka v'hinei tza'aka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted justice, but instead of injustice, there is going to be tza'aka, there's going to be an outcry, an outroar of what's happening. And now, we're going to have the word hoy appear a couple times in the parak. The word hoy means like oy vavoy, it's a word of harsh rebuke. In fact, the Gemara tells us that the word hoy appears 22 times in Sefer Yeshayahu, in parallel to the 22 times that the word ashrei appears in Tehillim. That's the opposite of ashrei. If ashrei is a praiseworthy, isn't this incredible? Hoy is oy gevalt, isn't this terrible? And here he's going to list all the horrible things that the Jewish people are doing. Pasuk Ches, hoy megi'ei bayit bebayit, sade besade yakrivu. What the people were doing is they were putting their houses close together, meaning they would take the boundary of their house and infringe on somebody else's house, specifically the poor, so that they could do away with the poor people's houses and take over and encroach on their space. And this beautiful, tragic phrase comes next. Ad efes makom, until there's no more space. V'hushavtem levadchem bekerev haaretz, and they were left alone in the land. Left alone meaning nobody else. There's no, they have no space for other human beings, but also they have no room for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. Efes makom. If you've got no space for Hashem, then you remain alone. Such powerful musar for ourselves right now is to ask ourselves, have we left space for Hashem? Or do we move our lives in which we take up every single area of space in our mental mind, in our hours of our day, and we don't leave space for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Efes makom. And Hashem says, if you are so busy enlarging your area of your land and building your homes, then what will happen? Im lo batim rabim leshama yihiyu. There won't be any more big houses. They're going to be desolate. Gedolim v'tovim me'ayin yoshev. They're going to remain without occupants. This is going to be a midah keneged midah. If you are so occupied with your own physical house, then your house will be empty. And obviously built into that is this musar of, what about Hashem's home? Have you invested in that too? And then the next hoy, hoy mashkimei baboker sheikhar, sheikhar yirdofu. Oy vavoy to the people who wake up early in the morning and they're pursuing liquor. Ma'achorei ba'nefshef yayin Yadli came. And in the evenings, they go to bed till late because they're so busy drinking wine. And here, explicitly, the Mefarshim speak about this idea that instead of waking up early to daven Shachris or going to bed late because of Talmud Torah, they spend all day pursuing their physical pleasures. And Yud Bet continues and it says, Vahaya kinor v'naval tofa chalil. They're playing all of these musical instruments, the harp and a flute and a drum. And the yayin mishtehem, and they have feasts of wine. The et po'el Hashem lo yabitu, but they don't turn to God. Umasei yadav lo ra'u, and they don't see his hand in their lives. They're successful. They have the means to spend all day sitting around and drinking. They don't have to pursue their own income. They don't have to feed their families. And yet, maybe because of that, they're not turning around and saying, wow, all this bracha comes from Hashem. What is this Po'el Hashem that they're not looking at? Rashi says it's the Torah. They don't have time to learn Torah. Whereas the Malvim says, no, it's simply God. They don't have time to stop and say, wow, Hashem is providing for me. And the Radak, well, the Radak says that the way you see Hashem, Po'el Hashem, is not in Torah, but it's just in nature. Look at the trees, look at the land, look at everything in Eretz Yisrael you're living in and be blown away by God. And the Haksava HaKabbalah says something fascinating. He says that dafka, because of the songs and the music, that should have led them to an awareness of God. As we know, it says in Devarim, the samachta b'chol hatov, the more good we have, the more we should be inclined to acknowledge Hashem, but that doesn't happen for these people. And if they refuse to acknowledge God, then again, mida keneged mida, pasuk yud gimel, lachen gala ami mibli da'as, my people will be exiled without knowledge. If they don't pursue the wisdom of Torah, then they're going to go out into exile and have no access to Torah, no access to the deep, beautiful knowledge that the Torah provides for us. Uchvodo metei ra'av v'hamonot sichatzama, and everybody is going to die of hunger and thirst again because they are not using their physical sustenance to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And through Hashem creating this reward and punishment system for the sinners of Bnei Yisrael, Pasuk Tesvav tells us, V'yishach ha'adam v'yishpal ish. Humans will be humbled and people will lower themselves. V'enei gvoim tishpalena. And the eyes of the haughty and the arrogant will be brought down low. But, as a seesaw effect, as a result of that, Pasuk Teszayin, V'yigba Hashem tzvakot b'mishpat. Hashem will be uplifted through the justice of creating punishment for the evil and the wicked. V'hakel HaKadosh, and Hashem, the Holy One, Nikdash B'Tzedakah, will be made holy through Tzedakah, through righteousness. And we know this Pasuk, because this is a Pasuk which appears in all of the Yamim Noraim, in the Bracha of Kedusha. And so beautifully, the Malbim says, it's not that Hashem will be made holy through punishment, but actually the Mishpat is ours. When we learn lessons, when we start to treat each other nicely, then Hashem will be uplifted. And when will Hashem be Kadosh? When tzedakah, when we learn once again not to steal from the poor, but to give them their dignity and to give them their homes and their land back. And then the pasuk moves on to the next hoy, the perek. It tells us, hoy moshche ha'avon b'chevle hashav. Oy vavoy to those people who are dragging sin along with them, with like purposeless ropes. Uka'avos ha'agalah chata'a. And their sin are like thick ropes of a trolley. It's like a shopping cart. It's like one of the ways that people trap monkeys is that they put a banana into a bottle and the monkey wants to reach the banana. So it reaches its hand into the bottle and grabs hold of the banana. But while its hand is holding onto the banana, it can't get its hand out the bottle because the banana is too big to get out the bottle. And as it holds it there and it tries it might, it cannot let go of the banana. And that's how the hunters come and they grab the monkey. Were the monkey to let go of the banana, it could run away immediately, but it's so busy holding onto the banana that he doesn't realize the banana is the cause of its own demise. And so too here in Yeshayahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to them, you're schlepping along these ropes of all of this baggage, of all of these sins that ultimately are purposeless, they're shav, and they're hurting you, and they're not doing any good to you, and yet you simply cannot let go of them. Barbara Barbanel says, it's unnatural, your sin. Avera is not something that you are. If you were to let go of that banana, if you would let go, you would be able to become a great person again, but you're so insistent on holding on to this tircha. It's a lot of work to hold on to sin because it's not who you are. And Rashi and the Malbim point out that there's two different ropes. The first rope is Chevle Shav, and the next rope is Avot Ha'agala. Chevle Shav is small little ropes like a spider's web. At the beginning, sin seems very little, but only afterwards it becomes big and thick. Just like we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Cain that Bepeta Chatas Rovet, sin sits at the entrance. It feels like something very small and very minor. Aval Elecha Chukaso, but it wants to take over your life. And as you start doing averas, they build up on each other and it becomes worse and worse for you. Pasuk Chaf tells us the next hoy. The next hoy says, Hoy ha'orim lo ra tov v'la tov ra. Oy v'avoy to the people who have mixed everything up. They say good is bad and bad is good. Samim choshech la'or v'or la'choshech. They confuse light and dark. And samim mar l'matok u'matok l'mar. And they think that which is bitter is that which is sweet. And the Mefarshim explain, these are the people who are worshipping idols. They worship idols even though it's bad, and even though it's darkness, and even though it's bitter, they're still consistently pursuing it. And we know Jewish philosophy speaks about how there are three different types of benefit that people get from things. There is arev. Arev means sweet, something we do because it creates immediate benefit. There is mo'il, which means beneficial, even though it doesn't have immediate benefit, in the long term it will create benefit. And then the highest reason why we should do something is tov. We know it's good because it's good, and even if it doesn't give us current benefit, and even though we don't feel like we're seeing the fruit of that, we do it because it's tov, tov ba'asher hu tov. And here the Malbim points out that these people, these wicked people, are confusing all three. They're confusing tov and ra, objective good and bad, right? Intellectual good and bad. Choshech v'or is beneficial, that which can be good for them, and they're pursuing immediate pleasure, and they're thinking that that which is bitter is sweet. The next pasuk is the next hoy, chaf alef, hoy chachamim be'enehem. Oy v'avoy to the people who think they're so smart. And really, they're not. Pasuk chaf beis is the next hoy. Hoy giborim lishtot yayin v'anshe chayil limsoch shechar. Oy v'avoy to these mighty warriors who are just drinking excessively. And because they're drinking, so what happens? Matzdike rasha ekev shochad. They are distorting justice. The righteous people, the leadership, the judges are now taking bribes because they're drunk and incapable of making rational decisions. And so Hashem says, I need to destroy these people. Pasuk chaf dalet lachen ke'echol kash lashon esh. Just as fire burns up a piece of straw, v'chashash lehava yirpeh, and hay is weakened by a flame, so too I will destroy the people. Upircham ka'avak ya'aleh, and their buds will also just dissipate like dust. And the Mefarshim explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't just destroy the root of the problem, the shoresh, of the plant, but also the buds, the fruit. And so too we know that effects of the exile will be felt for many, many generations. And just like we started the perek with the vineyard, we're going to end with the vineyard. Hashem says, I will pull down the fences so that the vineyard can be trampled. Here, Pasuk Chav Zayin tells us, V'nasa nes lagoyim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will call out to all the other nations, merachok, from far away, v'sharaklo, and whistle out to them, mikatze, from the ends of the world. V'hine mehera kal yavo, to allow them to come quickly. Ein ayef ve'en kosher, they will not be tired. They will rush towards Eretz Yisrael to destroy Am Yisrael, lo yanum v'lo yishan. They will not sleep and they will not slumber. In parallel to, we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being lo yanum v'lo yishan. V'lo niftach ezor chalatzav. They're never going to sleep. They won't even have time to go get into their pajamas because they're going to be so busy rushing to wipe out Klal Yisrael. Sha'agalo kelavi pasuk chavtes. They will cry out like a lion. Yishag kfirim. Like a mighty lion, v'yin hom v'yachaz teref, and they will grab hold on their prey, us being the prey, v'yaflit v'in matzil, and no one will be able to get away. And the parak ends with a difficult to read pasuk. What will be left for the Jewish people on that day? V'nabit la'aretz, they will look around to the land, look around for help. V'hine choshech, and there's only darkness. Tzar, and narrowness. V'or choshech ba'arifeha. And the light of day has been darkened in the sky. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refuah Shelema, L'Yonina Sima, Bas Daphne Hinda. ג'נפה היקרה שלנו, ולפצועי צהל, אחינו היקרים, בתוך שער חולי ישראל, נינה וחיים שנקה.